This is 1360 AM.
WNJC. Washington Township. Philadelphia. Philadelphia's Renaissance Radio Station. Brought to you from Forsyth Broadcasting. Or listen to us at WNJCRadio.com.
This is your host, Will Hemingway, and you are listening to Practice Preparedness on the radio. And today we are going to cover the topic of crisis preparedness in light of what is going on around us right now. As you know, or maybe you don't know if you live in a cave or you've taken up in a silly bunker, which we always generally refer to as a prepaid crypt. There's lots of things going on. Over the past few days, there have been lots of activity in the background in the intel side that is leading a lot of people to be very concerned about a real credible threat on the U.S. homeland in a large city or maybe a couple of large cities simultaneously. And it was given between Christmas and New Year's, but any idiot can figure that if you want the most impact, it's going to be New Year's Eve. So my opinion is stay home with your friends, have a nice party with your friends at one of their houses so you don't get a DUI ticket if you're going to be drinking, and have some fun and stay where you're not going to be overrun or something worse. Lots of things going on. In my sit reps to the people who belong to my newsletter, they've been seeing a lot over the past week, lots and lots of things coming across the wire, including more and more thefts of propane tanks. There were two last, it was on the 24th and the 16th of this month out of Philadelphia. One has been classified as industrial theft, but the other ones are an unknown. They were very brazen. They did it under lots of video surveillance and got away without getting caught. There were hundreds and hundreds of Coleman portable, like you'd use for a Coleman stove, the little gas tanks. And there have been several articles, including in the Al-Qaeda Inspire magazine, which is an online magazine by them, with detailed instructions on how to tape four of them together with a remote detonator made out of a throwaway cell phone that they put inside of a backpack. Again, going back to the same old game as we had in Boston and lots of other places, including the ones that went off in Paris. They had the bombs in the backpacks. So this is why you don't want to leave one of your packages sitting around. Someone might blow it up trying to find out if it's a bomb. But more importantly is you want to be extremely situationally aware to make sure that if you are working in the city, that you are paying a lot of attention to what's going on around you at all times. If you see somebody acting hanky, get somebody's attention who's authority, remove yourself. Remember, you cannot be everyone's protector. It's just not going to work that way. They're going to look at you like you're a kook. By the time you get done arguing, if it really is going to be something, it's going to be too late to save yourself from it. I've had quite a number of really in-depth conversations and gone back to refresh my own knowledge recently with some people who just came back from training and have been trained in chemical biological attack preparedness and how to handle it as first responders. One of the things that people don't know is those supposed WMDs that never showed up in Iraq, but actually did, if you read the New York Times article that came out a few months ago, but kind of did, but kind of didn't. There were only 22,000 of them, but, you know, they don't count. They also cycled around in Syria, and from what a lot of the intel that's been coming across the table in the last week is that Turkey provided ISIS with sarin gas canisters this week. And in fact, they actually arrested one of their people who are in their parliament there, who's a Kurd, who spoke out about it because he thought it was immoral, and they locked him up because he called attention to it. To me, when that happens, that increases the likelihood that you're probably hearing the truth. And if that's the case, then the next question we have to have is, how far can they reach out with that? Most people do not know what sarin gas is. They're not aware. Sarin gas is a very powerful nerve agent. There are a few antidotes, but using the term antidote for that is really a misnomer, because having gone today to refresh my information base into some of the U.S. military base information on the subject, they all basically tell you that most military personnel that have been in the CBRN, the chemical, biological, radiological side, will tell you that they believe that taking an atropine shot only keeps you alive long enough to go take another shot and then maybe go back to fight for a few hours before you die anyway, because you need immediate medical attention. And if you look at, there's not a word of it here, but in the news abroad, in The Guardian, in BBC, on RT, on Russia Today, it's been all over the place on their newscasts over the past 5-6 days. In Belgium, they clipped someone today, a pair of them today. They had no direct connection to sarin, but they had paperwork that indicated their interest to use that. And if that's the case, then you need to know what it's about. And what that means is that the only real way you're going to survive a sarin gas attack is to get away from it before you get it. It is inhaled. It can also be put in the water to contaminate water supplies. This is a big, big threat. It's a chemical weapon that known as a nerve agent. And basically what it does is, if you get a lethal dose, inhale a lethal dose, what you end up with is, it's actually an organophosphorus compound. And what it does is, you die from suffocation by lung muscle paralysis. This is why people who have gotten it, and we've seen pictures of it really being used by Assad, the president in Syria, who used it on the Kurds a few years back, and there was lots of news reels of it. Sad. People foam, white foam from their mouths, and they basically expire within 10 minutes. The problem is that if you only get a minor dose, if you don't get immediate attention, you too will not make it. And it's really a combination of 4 or 5 drugs that they treat you with that you need in order to have any chance of survival. So forget running out, those of you who are preppers, forget the idea of running out to your doctor and asking for a couple of atropine shots. And by the way, an EpiPen will not work. It's completely different. The epinephrine is used for speeding. It speeds your heart. If you use that and you don't need it, you're probably going to cause yourself to have a cardiac arrest. So these are the reasons that it goes back, and you'll hear this a lot from me, because as a risk manager and as a specialist in the area in physical security, I can tell you nothing trumps proactive behavior. If you act ahead of time, if you are situationally aware, you will be able to thwart most of these things before it happens. They're making a big deal right now about the neighbors in San Bernardino to Saeed Farouk and his wife, because, and it's amazing to me, because a few weeks ago, If someone had come forward and said to the news media or gone to the FBI and said, oh, I think my neighbor is doing something really strange and there may be a terrorist, they would have been basically attacked for being racist or Islamophobic or whatever. Now, on the news media, I watched two reports in the last 2 days where they named the neighbors by name and where they lived and said how if they had only acted, then they could have stopped it. Well, I'm sorry, you can't have it both ways. Yeah. Yeah. So the problem is, as the FBI has said, they don't go out and kick the door down on every person they get a phone call on. But if they look and they see something that's questionable, they'll sit on them. Unfortunately, it's very much like retail theft loss prevention. Anyone who's ever worked in that field knows that if every person that walks in the door into a retail location has the potential to steal. But what do? You're not going to go up and pat them down. You can't get in their brain. What was that Minority Report? Wasn't it Minority Report, the one where they were putting them in jail ahead of time before they did it? Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we can't do that. So then the question becomes, what can you do? So you have to split it down the middle. You listen, you watch, you check them out, you look at their activities. We now know because of what happened in San Bernardino that they were not even looking at their social media activity in public, not private posting, but public postings on Facebook and Twitter, and they did not even look at them. They were out there for anybody to look at, and they didn't look because they said that they had been advised that it would upset people because they would react negatively because they were invading their privacy. So this is where we get into this problem of the political correctness. Of course, we all want, and any good survivalist certainly is going to likely fall into the category of being extremely sternly set on the idea of privacy and freedoms. The flip side is there is a point where you have to be able to balance what it takes and what it doesn't. As an investigator for over 30 years, my take is I don't need someone to take 330 million people's rights away in order for me to catch 200 or 2,000 people or even 100,000 people. Then I need to figure out what it takes to get them without taking away those other people's rights. The problem is most knee-jerk reactions from politicians who really have no idea how real law enforcement works, because there's not necessarily a lot of that out there, unfortunately, because the system is so broken. They think that the way you fix that is to allow them to invade your privacy whenever they want. And as you see, even with the Patriot Act, though some of the things have really helped, the fact of the matter is it really hasn't helped that much, because in the end, nobody's looking. And the problem when you're culling the kind of data that passes through the place like the NSA or the FBI nowadays, you do not have the manpower. In the private industry sector, if we put a security guard, even a $30 an hour security guard, which I've done, in a place like New York University, watching the 100 screens of all the cameras in the all-female dorm in downtown Manhattan that had 15 to 20 rapes a week, and tell them, you watch these screens, and anything that happens, you alert one of the roaming guys who are actually licensed police officers in the city, but work as NYU Police Department, and dispatch them there where they can react. And yet still people got by all the time. No human being can spend that much time and pay that much attention. We actually put on five people to cover those 100 screens by rotating them every hour so they didn't start drooling because they would lose focus and completely shut down and not get anything. So when you hear people like Michael Moore and these other imbeciles who are out there saying, oh, well, they don't this and they don't that. See, they wanted this to happen. Malarkey. If you have a video system on your house or on your business and there are eight cameras, I would put it down to you now. If you sit in front of that monitor and watch those eight cameras, and see how long it goes before you start doing anything else, playing solitaire, staring at the wall, playing with your phone, whatever. It's never, ever going to happen. You're never going to be able to do it. All that is a tool for you to go back to afterward, so that way if something does happen, you can go back after it.